In every household, there's an ebb and flow to the way that things work. As people learn about one another, they learn about each other's oddities and the way that each other normally goes about things. A hard and fast rule in the Giuliano household is that if you need anything from me, whether it's a conversation, a favor, help with something, or pretty much anything, you should probably ask me before 8:30 p.m. And you may be saying to yourself, why do I need to be asked for things before such a specific time? Well, if you were a fly on the wall in our house, then you would know that that is the time when my body says that I'm done for the day. It's time to go to sleep. Everything that could possibly fit into today has been fit into it, and it's time to get sleep and rest before a new day. Faith can attest that at this time of night, my eyes start to glaze over. If she starts to talk about important things, she normally has to repeat them three or four times, and I pretty much start to fall asleep wherever I'm sitting, getting me to be wide awake and alert and ready to do something at that time of night is a pretty tall task. So I truly sympathize with the friend laying in bed in Jesus' story from our passage this evening. Why are you asking me for bread now? Everyone's in bed. This is not a time for asking for bread. And yet, after persisting and persisting, the man finally gets up and gets him what he needs just so that he'll go away. Every now and then, if our dog gets really hungry or really has to use the bathroom after he's been put to bed, he will bark nonstop until I go downstairs to see him. His persistent barking while we're trying to sleep will eventually force our hand. It'll get us out of bed to go and see him. Not because I particularly want to, but because I want him to get what he wants so that I can go back to sleep. Our dog has this tactic of persistence nailed down. He's quite the master of it by now. And persistence is indeed the point of this story from Jesus. He's continuing to teach his disciples about the art of prayer. And he's now teaching them about the boldness they should have when they're going before the throne of grace. To truly understand what Jesus is trying to tell the disciples here, we need to take a closer look at the parable. At first, it seems like a pretty odd story. Why is someone arriving at someone's house at midnight? Why does he need bread so badly? Badly enough that the host feels like he ought to go and bother a neighbor for bread since he's currently out. I don't know about you, but number one, it's a very rare occasion that anyone arrives to our home at midnight. It is under extraordinary circumstances that we expect someone that late. Typically, you would only expect that for a late flight or if you need to go to the emergency room. But for the sake of argument, even if we were expecting someone to arrive at our home at midnight, I certainly wouldn't think to offer them food. The kitchen closed down quite a long time ago. I assume that they ate dinner on the way, and I'm solely focused on making sure that everyone can get to sleep in short order. There's no way that if someone arrived to my house at midnight, I would start pulling out pots and pans and cooking for them. But in Jesus' day, things were a bit different. Hospitality was viewed as a sacred duty in the covenant community. There was no saying no to being hospitable, especially if someone had traveled a long distance to see you and did not arrive until midnight. Unlike in our day, people did not travel in cars or planes or buses. Travel was hard. It was exhausting. By the time you reached your destination, you were starving, no matter what time it was. And this host, knowing the realities of travel and his obligation to be hospitable, was determined to give his guests bread, even if it meant bothering his neighbors at midnight. But he was determined, even as his neighbor gave a lot of excuses. It was late. The kids are in bed. I can't get up. None of these excuses stopped the host from pressing on, from asking and asking and asking until the neighbor realizes that At this point, he's just going to get to sleep sooner if he gives the man the bread. And we've all been in situations like that when someone will not stop asking for what they desire. They press and they press and they press until we realize that we are not going to get anything else done until that desire is satisfied. The persistence of the host in this story is key. Jesus is highlighting it when he's talking about how you and I are supposed to pray. Now, before we push the example too far, we need to set the limits on how far we can actually take this parable. For starters, Jesus is not saying that if we ask for anything that we want, that as long as we're persistent about it, that we'll eventually obtain what we desire. God has the authority to say no when he pleases. Nor is Jesus saying that we have to reach a certain number of prayers for something or someone before it is answered. Nor is Jesus comparing God to the reluctant man who begrudgingly gets out of bed and gets the bread just so that the neighbor will go away. What Jesus is highlighting is that our Heavenly Father delights to answer our prayers. What Jesus is showing us is that when we pray as we are ought to pray, then we are to be persistent about it. When we pray for God's glory to be spread, for our daily needs to be met, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the protection of God against Satan and his evil schemes, that we need to go before God again and again, just like the neighbor at midnight who will not leave the door until he gets his bread. This is not because we will get what we want simply by asking over and over for the sake of doing it, but it is because God has decided to work through the persistent prayers of his people. He has decided to sanctify our hearts through our persistent efforts in prayer. Very often, you and I will go to pray to God for something once. We'll mention it here or there, and then we'll leave the matter be for a short while, concluding that God has just said no, even if we have not reached a conclusion. Sometimes you and I give up on things far too soon in our prayer lives. Think about our dearest friends and our family members who don't know Christ. How many of us have been tempted to stop praying for God to work salvation within their hearts? How many of us have been so burdened with discouragement that we've just put the matter outside of our minds entirely? That's not how our Savior wants us to pray. Our Savior taught us about what we are supposed to pray about, as we learned last time. We are supposed to pray about God's glory, our daily bread, the spread of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, and the protection of our God in our hearts and our minds. And now he's teaching us how to go about praying for those things. And he's instructing us to pray often, to lay our concerns and our burdens before God confidently and regularly. Just as the host in this story was not worried about how other people might think of him, how he was not worried about if he was imposing upon the neighbor, we too should be confident and bold to bring God-honoring prayers before our Lord constantly until we receive an answer from him. For if a neighbor can get his friend to get up at midnight to give him bread, how much more confident should you and I be that we can go before God, the one who never sleeps, the one who never rests, in persistent prayer for the things that he has instructed us to pray for? This persistence in prayer that Jesus teaches us forces us to examine ourselves, doesn't it? How often do we give up on important matters in our prayer life because we have seen no progress? How often do we go before God constantly? Are we confidently going before God's throne of grace? Does our lack of persistence reveal that we are disinterested about the end goals of some of our prayers? Do we truly believe that God has decided to work through the prayers of his people for their sanctification and his glory? If we truly believe these things, brethren, then our prayer lives are going to reflect it. They will reflect that we believe that our God works wondrously through the persistent prayers of his people, that our God is faithful and glad to answer the persistent prayers of his people, that we do not need to fear approaching our God constantly because our mediator has instructed us to come often. If we believe what Jesus is telling us about prayer, then our prayer lives will be markedly different. And now, noticing that persistence is important and then being persistent in our prayers are two different things, aren't they? All of us right now, as we're studying prayer together, are probably a tad bit convicted about our lack of persistence in prayer. But once we leave here, it's a way harder thing to start implementing. Life gets busy, and we get distracted. We often forget just how much we need God. But in the face of our complacency and our failings to go before God constantly, Christ provides us with encouragement. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. We are to be people who are constantly asking, seeking, and knocking for the spiritual riches that our God has promised to give us in Jesus Christ. They will be poured out on us abundantly. That is really great encouragement for those of us who find it hard to stay consistent in prayer. Another encouragement that we can gain is the fact that we have seen this reality to be true in our lives before. Think about when you were first saved. We persistently asked, sought, and knocked for God to reveal to us the truth about his salvation, and he graciously opened the storehouses for us. How much more so then, when we ask God to reveal to us the truth of his word, for his name to be spread far and wide, when we ask for daily provision, how much more confident should we be as those who have been saved to go to him and ask for all that is already ours in Christ Jesus? This is why we go before God's throne every week and we ask that he would work for us, specifically here in worship service, that he would sanctify us through his means of grace, that he would continually reveal himself to us. We go before him and we ask all of this each and every week, oftentimes asking with the same words that we did the week before. This is not out of laziness, but out of a knowledge that when we ask God to sanctify us, when we ask him to work in us by the power of his Spirit, that he will. That he will not cease to reveal to us the riches and the wonders and the glories that are ours in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be encouraged to persist because our God is the one who answers those who ask, seek, and knock at his throne of grace. This is exactly why Jesus gives the next parable that he does in the following verses. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus gives this parable to increase our boldness and encouragement in going before God's throne of grace. If we, as sinful human beings, know how to give our children good gifts, if we have the desire to give them gifts and to bless them beyond their dreams, and you and I are sinners, how much more so does our God desire to answer our prayers and to bless us with spiritual riches more than we can comprehend? He is our heavenly Father. We should run to him in prayer as children run to their earthly fathers, pleading, asking, and seeking for the spiritual riches that are found in Jesus Christ, because our God has promised to provide them to us. If even sinners give good gifts to their children who plead for them, how much more so will our God, our Heavenly Father, give us good gifts when we go before him in prayer? What is perhaps most astonishing about this passage is that last clause. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Throughout the passage, you and I tend to assume that what we are praying for is strictly material, since both of the examples that Jesus uses involve material objects. However, we learn at the end of the passage that the ultimate gift that we are given when we persistently pray is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is a far more wonderful gift than you and I could ever dream of. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God himself. He is the one who applies to us the saving work of Christ. He convicts you and I of our sin. He opens our eyes to Scripture. He grows us in holiness. In response to the prayers that we offer before the throne of grace, God himself dwells within us. That, brothers and sisters, is astonishing. That is a far greater gift than bread. Because the Holy Spirit dwells within us, we can have the confidence to ask for what we are told to ask for in Scripture. When we pray for God's name to be glorified, we can confidently know that God will glorify himself in us as he is sanctifying us by his Spirit. As we pray for our daily bread, we can be confident that the Holy Spirit will feed us on the Word of God as he opens our eyes to spiritual realities. As we pray to be rescued from temptation, we can be confident that the Holy Spirit will guard our minds in Christ Jesus. Our God in heaven has truly answered our prayers far more abundantly than we could have ever imagined. For those of you who are here tonight and you are in Christ, be encouraged. You can run to your God in prayer. He is faithful to all those who seek him. For those of you who are here this evening and you are not trusting in Christ, you've not experienced the gift of the Holy Spirit that the Father gives to his children, then I call upon you to repent even this evening, to go and ask, to seek, and to knock. Our great God in heaven promises to save all those who call upon him in faith. So run to him this evening. Stop looking to earthly riches and earthly solutions that will never satisfy you. Run to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who never fails his children, who never leaves his children, and who calls upon his children to run to him in prayer constantly, for he is the one who provides for their needs. Brothers and sisters, I pray that we would be encouraged by the message of Jesus this evening, that we would be led to persistently pray and seek our Lord, seeking him and asking of him all that we are taught to ask in the Lord's Prayer. May the Lord continue to sanctify us through our prayers, and may he continue to pour out the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray.